Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's driving the conversation in California today? Every weekday at this time, we explore a topic that's making news in our state. This is the State of California.
Well, tonight is the night, the second and final debate between President Trump and former Vice President Biden, which you can hear live right here on KCBS starting at 6 p.m.
And good afternoon. I'm Doug Sovereign, KCBS political reporter, host of The State of California, along with Patty Rising. Yeah, that first debate was a mess, a noisy clash of interruptions and name-calling. It seemed to leave a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. Well, the rules are a little bit different tonight, though the stakes just as high. For more on tonight's debate and what to look for, we are joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline today by political scientist Dr. Anna Sampaio, chair of the Ethnic Studies Department at Santa Clara University. Thanks again for being with us once more, and let's look ahead here. First of all, should we expect President Trump, you think, to act any differently than he did in that first debate?
Yeah. Hi, Doug and Patty. I don't expect him to act much differently. This is really a campaign that's in a state of free fall. It's not only on target to lose, but to take down much of the Republican Party in the process. And so I fully expect to see the same kind of aggressive, combative speech that we saw in earlier debates and that we've seen from Trump in the last couple of weeks at his rallies as well.
Okay, I have to ask you the mute button question because much has been made of it. For at least for the first 2 minutes of each answer, the other person's mic is going to be turned off. How big of a deal is this? How is this going to change things, if at all?
Well, on the one hand, it is a huge deal, right? Because we have never seen this before in a presidential debate. And even for the campaigns to concede to a mute button is huge, right? That's big. But I honestly don't think it's going to make a ton of difference. You know, as you said, it's only going to be in effect in the first 2 minutes of each 15-minute segment. And so, you know, presumably we're talking about a very small window in which it's in effect. The rest of it is likely to be the same type of give and take, but really with that kind of combative speech that we saw from Trump to begin with. Now, frankly, if I were on Biden's team, I would be encouraging him to lean into the aggravation factor and to really do everything I could to bait Trump in those 2 minutes while he's muted to try to act out, because we've seen that combative speech does not play well, particularly with voters who Trump really needs to turn out in his favor. But I don't necessarily expect Biden to go on the offensive in that particular way.
You know, the president has signaled pretty well in advance here that he's going to come out swinging against Joe Biden on the Hunter Biden laptop and the emails and China and all of this stuff. And that's going to be his continue. I'm sure he's going to keep coming back to that as often as he can tonight. How should Joe Biden handle all of that?
Yeah, I think, you know, Biden has been notorious for being just doggedly on message, and I fully expect that's going to be the case here as well. I don't necessarily think he's going to stay silent on the issues of Hunter Biden. You know, we saw some of this in the first debate. He did push back when it came to attacks on his family, and lots of people found that really endearing. But I do expect him to stay on message, to continue hammering on the issues of health care, economic recovery. I think if anything, honestly, where I see Biden taking a shift is in talking more directly and specifically to Black and Latino voters. These are voters who have the potential to really push the electorate in some key states like Georgia, North Carolina. Even today in places like Kansas, we saw that there could be a competitive race there. And if we can see the turnout from Black and Latino voters in those states, as well as several others, not only are we talking about a clear and decisive victory for Biden, but we're also talking about a shift in possibly the Senate as well. So if anything, I can see Biden not necessarily turning to hammer Trump per se, but turning to speak more directly to targeted audiences like Black and Latino voters.
So if we expect Donald Trump to go after Hunter Biden, so that's his target in terms of Biden. But he's been going after the news media. He's been going after the moderator. He's been going after the debate itself. In your mind, is this a way that a definite strategy that intentional to lower expectations, or is he just throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks?
Well, I think some of it's just the, you know, this is a campaign that's decidedly undisciplined and frankly uninventive. You know, part of this is the same strategy he's pulled out from 2016, you know, engaging in this kind of displays of masculine bravado and targeting racial and ethnic minorities. But it's also just the reflection of him being a completely undisciplined candidate. But much of it is also about undermining the legitimacy of the process, as well as the possibility of the results. So one of the things, in addition to Hunter Biden, I expect him to do is to bring up the press conference yesterday held by the FBI and NSI about vote tampering by Iran and the allegations that that's being done to favor Biden. So, you know, I do expect some of that additional groundwork that he's going to try to do to undermine the election results, knowing full well he is on target to lose. And the only real strategy here is to try to, you know, call into question those results.
Now, things can change this late in the campaign. It was right around now when James Comey put out that letter, and things, you know, that cost Hillary Clinton a couple of percent and ended up making a difference in the election 4 years ago. But one big difference this time is something like 50 million people have already voted. I mean, there's so much early voting going on. How much of an impact do you think whatever happens tonight could have on changing the fortunes of this race?
Yeah, it is the case that, yeah, you're absolutely right, Doug, that in 2016, you know, we had that October surprise right about now. But there are fundamental differences. As you know, 50 million people have already voted, and that's, you know, larger than it was in 2016. But the other big thing here is the consistency with which Biden has led in the national polls and then in battleground states, that Biden has held a double-digit lead very consistently over not only just the last several weeks, but over the last several months. And that's not only showing up in these national polls, but as I said, in these competitive battleground states. And where we saw a difference in 2016 is that right about now, those margins of victory for Hillary Clinton were really shrinking pretty considerably and becoming far more competitive. And that's not the case. The other issue here is the way in which Trump has lost support amongst key segments of his electorate, namely white men and white women. Both, he has lost tremendous amount of ground. The gender gap, for instance, has grown larger than it was in 2016, and it doesn't show any signs of abating.
Speaking of the polls, does Joe Biden run the risk of believing them too much, sitting back and just trying to run out the clock?
Yeah, definitely. They sense that too. You know, you saw a bunch of messages coming from the Biden campaign this week saying, you know, we need people to turn out. We need people to not be comfortable. I do think that there's some fear, not only again for the presidential race, but certainly for these competitive Senate races. They need people to show up, and they need people to show up in big numbers if they're going to flip the Senate. So yeah, there definitely is that fear of people resting on their laurels.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Dr. Anna Sampaio, political scientist, Santa Clara University, where she chairs the Department of Ethnic Studies. She'll be back with us after the debate, about 4 hours from now. A reminder, we will carry that debate live on KCBS starting at 6 o'clock. And then when it ends around 7:30-ish, she'll be back with us. And we have a full slate of guests for the next hour after that for reaction and analysis. The State of California, we air every weekday at 3:30 p.m. And it's also available at kcbsradio.com and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Doug Sovereign, KCBS.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.